Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bourassa.
Braden Holtby!
Hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point podcast. This is the Blue Liner on Point. And, riding solo again because I'm not sure that Anna survived the drunk show last week. She had some familial obligations to attend to, so she's taking care of that. So doing a quick augmented podcast this week. I actually have a very special guest on this week for this short shift, and going to be doing an interview of him. If you have access to the True Caps Fans Facebook social page, you might know him already. He's one of the admins there, and so to our listeners in the Delmarva area listening and around the world, I'd like to introduce you now to my good friend Chris Levesque. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thanks for having me, Gil.
Absolutely.
How's everybody doing?
Oh, great, great. How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. Lousy work week. Great to be off. Great to start this very cold weekend here in the house, but everything's going good. Just finished watching the bronze medal game with Team USA versus Team Czech, and I'm getting ready for Sunday's Caps game versus the Blues come at 3 o'clock. So hopefully with this cold weather, be hibernating in the house down here in the man cave.
Yeah, sounds great. Sounds like a good time. So yeah, I know you've got some thoughts on the World Junior Championship that's been going on for the last week. So I'm sure that's going to be some good stuff. But before we get into anything else, I'd like our listeners to get to know you a lot better, because I'm sure in the coming months, as the show goes on, we're going to have you on hopefully a few more times as both our schedules permit. I know we've been trying to set something up for a while now. So go for it. So introduce yourself to our listeners if you could, please.
Well, my name is Chris Levesque, lifelong Capitals fan. I've been a Capitals fan since, 1980. I was 9 years old when Team USA beat the Russians in the 1980 Olympic Games in Lake Placid. And ever since then, I was hooked on hockey and hooked on the Capitals. I was very aware of the Washington Capitals team when I was growing up here in the Washington, D.C. area. Went to my very first game in 1982 versus the New Jersey Devils. I remember when Gaetan Duchesne scored 2 goals against Glenn Chico Resch that night, and the Capitals won 3-1 against the Devils. I remember my father buying my brother and I, Stefan Levesque, a tabletop hockey game, and I couldn't wait to get the Capitals on there. So everybody was either a Mike Gartner or a Dennis Marook or a Bobby Carpenter on there. 47 years old now. I've been Capitals fans for 37 years. The 20 years in the Army, was a huge Capitals fan when I was deployed as well, too. I remember getting newspaper articles from family members on deployments, letting me know how good the Capitals are doing. I almost live, breathe, and, you know, everything else Capitals hockey here. So I'm glad, I'm fortunate enough to be retired now. I'm living back here in the Northern Virginia area, so I can watch my Capitals almost exclusively and stay in touch with you guys.
Great. Awesome. Awesome. I love it. Absolutely love it. And you were taking me back a ways with a lot of those names. Gaetan Duchesne, Mike Gartner, man, some of my earliest memories involve those two guys and a lot of others. So yeah, that's great to hear. Speaking of names, yours is very French Canadian. Obviously, I take it that's your heritage, or at least French.
French Canadian and Italian. My Levesque family originated. It came from Normandy, France, and landed in Quebec. As a matter of fact, New Brunswick and Quebec. My father grew up in Caribou, Maine. It's about a stone's throw from Canada, as a matter of fact. Met my mom. My mom's Italian. Met her when he was in Italy in 1960, I want to say 66. my grandfather, who fought in World War II, was a Canadian citizen, re-enlisted in North Africa and Algiers and became a United States citizen in the middle of the war, as a matter of fact. He was pretty good friends with René Lévesque, who was the prime minister of Quebec.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
It's a funny thing. When I was stationed up in Ottawa back in 2008 on an exchange program with the Canadian Forces, the first thing I did when I got up there in a hotel was open up the phone book and looked up to see how many Lévesques were in the phone book, as a matter of fact, just, you know, because the Lévesque name down here is not popular. But every now and then I come across a Lévesque or I come across a person who's very familiar with the last name. Sylvain Côté, who played for the Capitals, I talk with him quite a bit on Facebook and for the last couple of years or so, and he was telling me that up in Quebec City there's 15 pages of Lévesques up there, so it's pretty amazing. When I was stationed in Fort Stewartsville in Savannah, Georgia, there was a Master Sergeant Lévesque from Chicago, Illinois, so him and I every now and then would email each other or give each other a phone call and just talk hockey. He was a Blackhawks fan, and he'd rub my nose in it every now and then because, you know, naturally we're Capitals fans, and I don't want to say we're cursed, but the lack of Stanley Cups kind of hurts every now and then. But yes, that's my Canadian heritage right there.
Good to know. Good to know. A lot of good stuff there. So, okay, so you've been a Caps fan for a long time, just like me and a lot of others in the group. So what would you say is your favorite moment watching the team all these years?
My favorite moment. Let's see. There's been quite a few. I've been to both Winter Classic games. The one in Pittsburgh was great. That was a great atmosphere up there.
That had to have been awesome. I wish I could have gone there.
It was awesome. Great fans up there, as a matter of fact. We were up there and up near the center ice area up in the upper deck was great. I want to say the year the Capitals made the Stanley Cup Finals, I was in the field training with my unit, and I caught an AM station. I think it was out of Cleveland, Ohio. It was an ESPN radio station, and they were playing the game. And I remember when Joey Junot scored that game-winning goal in overtime, and I was in my sleeping bag, and oh my goodness, I'm telling you, I jumped out of the sleeping bag, nearly tore down the tent. I was jumping for joy, up and down. I couldn't believe it. My platoon leader came out and he was telling me, "Sergeant Lévesque, you got to keep it down. There's noise and light discipline. Respect that." I was like, "No, sir, I'll do push-ups. I'll do anything. My team's going to the Stanley Cup Finals." And he sat there and laughed for a bit and couldn't sleep that night. I was so excited. You know, I had to wait another day or so to go back home and make a phone call, call my brother up, and remember how excited he was. That's probably my the year I retired from the Army, 2011, the Capitals, my brother got it squared away with the Capitals front office where they honored me when they do their veterans, when they honor the veterans. I was honored during, I think it was a Pittsburgh game, as a matter of fact, in February 2011, the year I retired. So those are probably it. I mean, I know there's a lot of heartbreak in there as well, too. But being a lifelong Capitals fan, we kind of tend to, you know, I guess we go with the flow or go with the punches, you know what I mean? So I'm hoping there's going to be more this year, as a matter of fact. I like the fact that they're kind of staying below or underneath the radar. Nobody was picking us to at least challenge for the Metropolitan Division lead. I was looking at the standings earlier today where I think we're the third best overall in NHL, in the overall standing. So I'm hoping there's some really good moments sometime this year. We're halfway through the season right now, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And so, yeah, that's some good observations there. How long did your military career last?
20 years. 20 years, 1 month, and 3 days.
so 20 years, and that was all with the United States Army.
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, and so what did you do when you got out?
I'm a DOD contractor. I work at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, which is not too far from the DC, from our nation's capital. I work for a company called ACOM, and I'm a quality engineer at the facility I work at on Fort Belvoir now.
Oh, nice. All right. Okay. So, yeah, as you can hear, another solid citizen who gave pretty much half his life to serve our nation. Do thank you for that. And
thank you.
And yeah, now he's making good as a contractor. And you said something about going back to school. What's that for? Can you?
Well, I'm finishing off my I'm finishing off my bachelor's degree. I'm a little slow right now. When I was in the Army, I had about a year's worth of college underneath my belt and decided I wanted to join the Army. Army obviously took up a lot of my time, and when I became when I rose up in the ranks, it was my goal to get my younger soldiers, get their education out the way. If they decided to get out, at least they had their education, especially with all the deployments we had. It was, you know, my job to ensure that they were taken care of, and I wanted to ensure that they had their education. It was when I retired, I knew that, you know, whoops, instead of taking care of them, I needed to take care of myself. So now I've hit that point in my life where it's kind of slow right now. And I told myself, this is what I want to do. I want to get myself my education, my degree in history, American history, as a matter of fact, and possibly pursue a job, maybe a career change, working for the Smithsonian or the United States Army, their National Museum they're building near Fort Belvoir, or possibly become a history teacher here in Northern Virginia.
Oh, love it. Absolutely love it. Love it. I was that was my major in college, was history, and I actually did my thesis on Irish immigration. So that's American histories. Yeah, it's kind of in my wheelhouse. So so that's why one of the things we like to talk about here is hockey history in general and Caps history. So that's great. So I didn't know that about you, and I'm glad that's part of your background. So we'll definitely have you on a lot more to talk about stuff like that. So yeah, that's absolutely great. Okay. All right. Wonderful. Wonderful to learn more about you. Bring more Caps fans into the fold on the show. That's just great. That's what we do here. Okay. So let's get into more or less the week that was in Caps land, Caps world. So when we last left you, it was actually the Devils game was the last time we were talking about how bad the Vegas game was. They had a pretty solid week after that. They lost in a shootout to the Rangers, and then they faced the Bruins again. Tuukka Rask took another night off. I don't know why they put in Khudobin. Managed to beat them again, beat the Devils, and then had that had two ugly games against the Hurricanes, managed to win those. Just the one. I'm reading the schedule wrong. Day after New Year's, and now we're on a five day layoff till the Blues, like you said, and that's a kind of a matinee game tomorrow. So looking forward to that. They've been kind of a top team. They're a little slacking off a bit, kind of run into a bit of a rough patch, but been a top team for most of this year, a bit of a surprise, kind of like us, like you said. How do you think we match up against them tomorrow?
Against the Blues? Well, I think we're doing pretty good, really. I think we're going to match up pretty well. I'm trying to look at the standings here. The Blues are first in the Central Division. They're 26-15-2. They beat Las Vegas 2-1 on the other night, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, they ought to get a medal for that. You can't beat Vegas at home.
What a surprise that team is. I mean, we were a couple of colleagues and myself and I were talking about it at work. It's completely caught us off guard about how great that team is. GM has done a real good job with the scouting department there, getting these guys. I remember the talk was at first that they were going to go after Grubauer, and then, you know, we lost Schmidt to that. But Marc-Andre Fleury's done really good there. I think he's 8-0 right now. He's got two shutouts, one against us, as a matter of fact. I remember with that rash of injuries, especially with the goaltending issue they had there, they had P.K. Subban's brother in there as well, too.
Yep.
Doing pretty good. The St. Louis game, though, they usually play us pretty good. I remember a few years ago when I was living and stationed in the St. Louis area, it was just tough to beat St. Louis whenever we were playing there or whenever St. Louis came to our building, as a matter of fact. I think it's going to be a good, tough game. I like to see us, you know, but we had that sloppy game against Carolina, and I think with our young defensive core we have with Bowie and Drews, we're going to have games like that. But as long as we have Holtby back there and, you know, leadership with Ovechkin, Backstrom, and Oshie, I think we're going to do pretty well. I like to see us come. I think it's going to be another tight game, probably another one-goal game, as a matter of fact, against the Blues.
Yeah, yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, it's always – it's like what I say about Boston and Tampa Bay. It's going to be another tough out because they're a top – perennial top team. So, yeah, that's – yeah, I totally agree. That one's going to be fairly interesting to watch. And it's a matinee game, so I don't know if it's a nationally televised game. I didn't check, but usually the Saturday 3 o'clock games tend to be.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be another factor, but at least it's at home, so got that going for us. What do you think about the? I know you've been watching the team fairly closely. The thing that I've noticed lately is that they tend to struggle a bit on the road. What do you think is? What do you attribute to that as far as you've seen?
I think the young guys, you know, with our young guys there, they're accustomed to, I guess, winning at home. You have that, you know, that huge crowd every night there at the Capital One Arena. It's usually sold out every night there. Mm-hmm. Usually a good crowd there. I guess they don't see that a lot. I mean, it depends. I know Carolina, it's a good hockey town there in Raleigh. There's a lot of the Northerners down there, but lately, they've been struggling with attendance down there. Maybe I think they're just trying to feed off of the crowds there, as a matter of fact. I'm looking at the schedule now. I know we had a tough time against the Rangers, even though we lost in a shootout 1-0. Excuse me. With Grubauer looking really good there. Vegas and Arizona, as a matter of fact. I don't know what's going on. And we had a tough time against the Dallas Stars in overtime as well, too. So I don't know what the reasoning is with us playing away from home. Maybe it's the home cooking, not sleeping in their own beds. But I know we have the next three games at home with St. Louis, Vancouver on Tuesday, and Carolina on Thursday. As a matter of fact, we have a home-and-home series Thursday and Friday against the Carolina Hurricanes. And then we're on the then they have a six-day break, and they're playing against the New Jersey Devils. So the schedule right now favors the Capitals, especially if they have some nagging injuries, especially with Niskanen right now. Still has a few days to rest up and get back in there. I don't particularly like how the Capitals play when they have a long time off. This is something I noticed under the Bruce Boudreau era. Once they had like 3 or 4 days off, they tend to struggle, or they're rusty the first two periods. Third period, they tend to wake up a bit. But usually it's too little too late. That's something that they have to work on and take care of, especially now coming into the second half of the season and come trade deadline. Metropolitan Division is tough. It's tight. That kind of worries me a bit, especially how well they play away from home and how they play when they have a, you know, 3 or 4 game break or 3 or 4 day off.
Yeah, yeah, and that's that's exactly along the lines of something I mentioned last show, not that I can remember much of it, but
yeah.
Saying something about come playoff time, yeah, you're going to have to play half the games on the road, and so I don't know what it is either that this team just kind of can't keep it together or can't eke out the win. I mean, a lot of the games they play tight, they play close, but they just can't seem to come up with the win as easily as they do at home. And you mentioned Matt Niskanen's injury, and that certainly isn't going to help much. This layoff will, but I think you hit it on the head when you said that kind of lays it on the younger guys, Chorney, Juice, and Bowie, who frankly haven't been playing that great, at least not lately.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's going to be interesting to see how they adjust. I think Niskanen's close. He's still day-to-day, I'm pretty sure. So I think he's close to coming back, but he's not quite there yet. I don't think he's going to dress for tomorrow's game. So it's going to be interesting to see how they adjust. Now, Juice has had an easier time of it. His star's rising a little bit, but still like to see everybody on that D-core, master the art of playing sound positional game in their own end, which I don't think they're quite there yet, but they're pretty good. Pretty good at moving the puck out of our end, but when they get into our end, it leaves a little bit to be desired.
Oh yeah, yeah. Especially the other night against Carolina, I know there was a couple mishaps in there, and I heard the ice was pretty bad there as well too. And there's going to be, unfortunately, I think there's going to be nights like that, especially with the young defensive core back there with Juice and Bowie and Chorney coming in on a pinch as well too. But I noticed that when the Capitals are without Niskanen, who I thought is their best defenseman on the ice, their record is not as good as we would like. But when he's in the lineup, they are pretty good, and they're playing pretty good as well too. I'd like to see Carlson take better care of the puck. This is his career year. I know he's doing really well point-wise. I hate to see him leave and go to another team. But I like to see him take care of the puck. I know a lot of fans, they're probably going to hate me for this, but I like Orpik a lot. Orpik, and he's got that big contract. I know a lot of fans don't like that big contract, but I think it provides mentorship and leadership back there, especially with Juice and Bowie. I know the Capitals weren't looking to lose Schmidt. They weren't counting on it, as a matter of fact. And I think I read an article the other day that they were looking ahead to the 2017-18 season, where they were penciling him in the lineup, the everyday lineup, because he has that experience. I think that hurts us a little bit as well too. But I think in time, and as the season wears on, this team will gel, the defensive unit will gel, and they'll start to play better. Especially come February, March, especially come trade deadline time. I think the play of Bowie and his development will have the front office thinking what they're going to do come trade deadline time. I think we may have to look at another defenseman come trade deadline time in case, we have an injury, with one of our veterans, with Carlson or Niskanen, especially Niskanen now missing some time earlier this year, and then now with him being out day to day, that kind of concerns me. But we'll see what happens come February, March, when everything starts to heat up.
Yeah, that's going to be a pretty good time. And you mentioned the trade deadline. It'll be interesting if they can keep up their overall level of play, then they'll probably look to be buyers at that point. But then again, they do have some assets that they could trade for, I don't know, maybe prospects or maybe a solid top 4D like you mentioned. So, yeah, that's going to be a very, very interesting time of the year at that mm-hmm. point, because I'm sure they will, barring a disaster, I'm sure they'll be in the mix at least for a playoff spot, if not the division title again. So, yeah, that's going to be very interesting to see what Brian McClellan pulls off, if anything. So, taking a look at the schedule beyond tomorrow, they've got another game at home next Tuesday, 7 o'clock puck drop against the Canucks. And then later on in the week, a home-and-home with the Hurricanes again. And they just played earlier this week. And then it looks like they're going to go into the All-Star break. Ovechkin has already been named a captain for the Metro Division team. And then they're going to play the Devils and the Canadiens in a back-to-back towards the end of the week. And then it's all kinds of spaced out. It's the Flyers, the Panthers, and the Flyers again, three games over the course of 11 days. So good time to rest up and take care of some bumps and bruises, I would think. And then come February, it's gonna get a little more intense, as you said, February and March. And that's where you want to pick up a whole lot of points. So that's the Caps and their goings-on in the foreseeable future. A lot of games where they should pick up points, a lot of games that are going to be tough, I would think. So going to be very interesting, as always, to watch. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the week that will be for them. Now, we had a conversation last night, and you touched on it before, when I was asking you about how you got into hockey. You mentioned the World Junior Championships. I understand you've been keeping an eye on that, and you mentioned the bronze medal game that the U.S. is going to be in. What are your observations from the tournament you've seen this year?
Well, the U.S. team just finished up. They won the bronze medal game. Spoiler alert, they beat the Czech Republic 9-3. excuse me. I really thought they had a good chance of, meddling, and they did. This is the third time they meddled in 3 years. 2016, they won the bronze. Last year, they won the gold against Team Canada in the shootout. And this year, 2018, they won the bronze again. Very good crop of youngsters on the team. Brian Bellow's son is on the team. He had a really good tournament. I think he finished off with 4 goals.
Kiefer Bellows, good prospect.
A very hot Swedish team. They're very exciting to watch. I know we have a prospect on that team who scored last night. As a matter of fact, they scored 2 shorthanded goals against us, and I think a matter of less than a minute, which really killed us. We ended up losing 4-2. So Sweden will play Canada for the gold medal here later on this weekend. Really enjoy the juniors tournament because it shows off our youngsters. They're talking about Kiefer Bellows right now. He finished off tonight's game with 2 goals and an assist. It's our youngsters. It's our future. You know, I remember back when I was in Canada, they were showcasing Carl Alsner and PK Subban and how high up they were, and all over the magazines, their faces were everywhere. And I remember, I think Carlson played in World Juniors as well too. So, very exciting time. It's right after Christmas, you get to sit down and get to watch some good hockey. I'm just disappointed in the attendance. We got to play here in Buffalo this year, and the attendance was really low. A lot of hockey experts were pointing that out, especially the Canadian experts, about you're up there in Buffalo. It's almost a hotbed for hockey. A lot of folks were pointing at the weather, but then again, a lot of people were focusing on the ticket packages and how expensive the ticket packages were. So a lot of fans were turned off as well with that. Looking at right now, the Canadians, Team Canada will play Team Sweden tonight in less than an hour in the gold medal game. So that should be an exciting game. unfortunately, with my Canadian heritage, though, I'd like to see them win, but I think Team Sweden's going to give them a handful, and I think they're going to end up winning the gold medal tonight.
All right, good stuff. Now, I heard that they actually played one of the games outdoors.
Yeah, they played the outdoor game against Canada, and this was when the not in the medal rounds, but I guess the preliminary rounds.
Yeah.
And that was exciting. I didn't watch it. I was out of town, so I was just keeping tabs on it, and we ended up winning that game. Snowing, classic, outdoors. It's snowing. It's cold. 44,000 people were at that game. They were playing over where the Buffalo Bills play, as a matter of fact. So, and they were their uniforms were resembling the Buffalo Bills, as a matter of fact, too.
Nice. Good stuff all around. I always wanna keep my eye on that, because, like you said, that's hockey's future right there. Is the showcase for that future stars you're gonna see. That's where Evgeny Kuznetsov, in fact, started to earn his place in the spotlight. Was that tournament about, it was about 6 or 7 years ago, I think it was. And so yeah, it's a cool thing to check out and keep an eye on, especially when you know there's prospects there. So anyone who is interested in keeping up with, you know, the future of what the game's going to be like, give that a go. It's always the last week of the year, the first week of the new year, so that always runs. So yeah, do please check that out. Whatever you can, any highlights you can look up. And that kind of thing. So yeah, that's great. Really appreciate you bringing that knowledge to us here on the show. So okay, so I think that's going to wrap it up for this week, this mini edition of the Power Play Point podcast. And just want to throw out yet another reminder, real quick here. Not gonna drag it out too long. Please donate at the site. There is a PayPal link there, or you can email me at my personal email address, glhallowed@yahoo.com, if you don't want to use PayPal. But like I've been saying, I've got some bills coming up that we need to pay, so and new equipment, and we're hoping to get also. So, yeah, if you'd care to donate, really, really appreciate that. So gonna keep putting that out there. Next few weeks or so, because that's when we're looking to take care of anything as far as that regard. So, okay, we're going to take care of business there. Chris, any final thoughts?
No, just looking at the schedule here. I know we were talking about the strength of schedule. You got a very easy schedule coming up for the Caps. You got a game against the Canucks Tuesday, back-to-back, home-and-home against the Carolina Hurricanes. Got Devils. Struggling Montreal Canadiens team. Got a struggling Philadelphia Flyers team. It's an easy stretch for the Capitals here. If they want to extend their lead in the Metropolitan Division, this is the time to do it right now. And especially with the time off, with those nagging injuries, this is the time where they can get those guys rested up. And hopefully the young D core can gel and start playing a little better. This could be the month where the Capitals could start breaking away from the pack.
Yeah, good. Yeah, absolutely. And this is, yeah, exactly right. Yeah, this is the time to start banking those points in case you have another major injury. You want to set yourself up to be in a good place in the playoff race for yourself. And yeah, it, just like you said, this is the time to do it. So, but my only concern with that is, and I think you also said this, you want to make sure that they're not peaking too early. So
exactly.
That seems to have been a problem of late, so that's going to be probably the number one concern going forward, other than staying healthy, is that. So
yeah.
Going to be very interesting the next couple of months heading into March to see how they continue to gel and find that consistency. Okay, all right, well, Chris, really, I just want to tell you, really, really appreciate your filling in this week. I know we've been trying to get you on, but it was also kind of sort of short notice.
Yeah.
When I called you and said, "No, hey, do you have some time?" And you were able to, and I really, really appreciate that. And we, trust me, we're definitely going to have you on, as much as we can here. Cause, it sounds like, you know, your stuff. And, again, you're another example of, you know, how we, the Caps fans here, we're diehards. We're loyal, and we are. We know hockey, and we know how it should be played. So yeah, definitely want to have you on as much as we can. So we'll make it happen for sure. And again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And taking
thank
time.
Thank you. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity, and thank you for having me on, Gil. I really appreciate it.
All right. Great. Yeah, so we'll definitely have you on later on. I think you'll be good to talk with the trade deadline goings on. So I think we'll fix her up or something for that as well. Okay, so for Chris Levesque, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off. And as always, let's go Caps.
Let's go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes available at Apple Podcasts, through the Podbean app, and at blueliner77.podbean.com. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conquell.